My name is Garland Robinson. Exactly what is it that one must understand in order to become a child of God? Well, there are all kinds of things, several things, that one must know in order to become a child of God. For one, you need to understand that God exists. You know, a lot of people don't believe in God. God is real. You're not going to go to heaven unless you believe in God. In Psalm 100, verse 3, we read, "Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture." There is one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all, Ephesians 4 and verse 6. We also read in 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 11, "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is Thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and Thou art exalted as head above all." In the book of Romans, chapter 11, verse 33 and 36, the Apostle Paul wrote by inspiration, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. For the Lord is a great God." Psalm 95 and verse 3. Then we need to understand that sin is a violation of God's will. 1 John 3 and verse 4, "Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. For where no law is, there is no transgression." Romans 4 and verse 15, "All unrighteousness is sin." 1 John 5 and verse 17. So I need to understand that God exists. I need to understand that sin is a transgression, a violation, a breaking of God's will. I need to understand that sin separates one from God. And you die separated from God, then you're going to lose your soul throughout eternity. So we understand that no one is exempt from sin. "There is none righteous, no, not one." Romans 3 and verse 10. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Romans 3 and verse 23. In Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2, a principle is stated that the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy that it cannot hear. "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear." Before becoming a child of God, the Bible says one is dead in trespasses and sins, Ephesians 2 and verse 1. Sin, Jesus said, defiles a person, Mark 7 and verses 20 to 23. And when one turns from what is right and commits that which is wrong, then he will pay for his evil, if not in this life, then certainly in the judgment to come. The Bible says in the Old Testament book of Ezekiel, chapter 18, verses 26 to 30, that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And we're not responsible for our ancestors. Those who have gone before, we're not responsible for those who come after, at least in the sense that we have to bear the consequences of their sins or the guilt and the penalty of their sins. Each and every one will be judged according to what they have done in this life. God desires that all men everywhere turn from their evil so they don't have to suffer for it. We read, "Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Cast away from you all of your transgressions, whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit, for why will ye die? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live." Ezekiel 18 and verses 30, 31, and 32. So, if I'm going to be pleasing to God, if I'm going to go to heaven when I die, I need to understand, number one, that God exists. I need to understand that sin is a transgression or a violation of His will. And I need to understand that sin causes one to be lost because it causes one to be separated from God. And then I need to understand that if I sin, and I die in that sin. I die separated from God because of my sin, then I lose my soul for eternity, forever and ever, in hell. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death." The death spoken of here is a spiritual death. It's eternal separation from God. The word death in its simplest form simply means separation, a separating from. When we die physically, our spirit is separated from our body, and our body dies. When we die spiritually, our spirit is separated from God. Our spirit doesn't die in the sense of it becoming unconscious or ceasing to exist, but rather is spoken of as death because it exists and it's not in the light, in the beauty, in the holiness of God's presence. So it's classed or thought of as a death because it is a separation from God, the giver of life, the giver of beauty, the giver of all that is good and true and holy. So to be separated from God means separation from everything that is good and right. God is light, the Bible says, and in Him is no darkness at all, 1 John 1 and verse 5. Heaven is a pure place where only righteousness dwells. In Revelation 22, verse 14 and 15 we read, "Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie." No sin will enter heaven. Only that which is beauty, only that which is lovely, only that which is pure will be in heaven. Eternal separation from God occurs when one dies and leaves life on this earth. There's no provision been made by God to be saved from our sins after we die. Isaiah 3:11 says, "Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hands shall be given him." In Ezekiel 18:20 we read, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him." So those who sin and those who die, and they die without forgiveness, will perish in utter destruction. "He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him," John 3 and verse 36 and verse 18. "Sinners shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven," 1 Corinthians 6 and verses 9, 10, and 11. "Those who commit sin and iniquity shall not go to heaven. The unforgiven shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone," Revelation 21 and verse 8. But friend, though sinners perish, there is a continual consciousness of suffering and pain and agony. Jesus talked about those who go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched, Mark 9 and verse 43 and 44. In the great judgment scene of Matthew chapter 25, we read in verse 41 where Jesus said that hell is an everlasting place of torment. He said, "Depart from me, accursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." In verse 46 of Matthew 25, he said, "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." Few are those who see the danger in approaching destruction. Many laugh and scorn. Friend, don't be in that number. Jesus died and shed his blood for you. Without your obedience, you're going to perish in a devil's hell. What a tragic scene that will be. Why not take inventory right now of your life? Why not turn around, change your mind, your attitude, humble yourself before God, and obey the gospel before it's too late? If you truly believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, why not let that belief or that trust in the Lord move you to repent of your sins, confess faith in Christ, and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Friend, you need to understand that only in Jesus Christ can one have forgiveness. Only in the Lord is there found salvation from sins and peace with God. The religions of the world would think that there are many saviors. They would have you to believe their salvation in Mohammed, their salvation in this or that, but salvation, friend, is only found in the Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. Jesus very clearly and very plainly said, by the sanction of heaven, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John chapter 14 and verse 6. That is the only way you're going to find salvation. In Acts chapter 4, verses 10 to 12, we read, be it known unto you all that by the name of Jesus of Nazareth, whom they had crucified and God raised from the dead, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Friend, that's the name of Jesus. When the announcement was made to Mary concerning that child whom she would bear, the Bible says, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. What a Savior. That's what his name is. That's what it means. He is the Savior of mankind. Won't you allow him to save your soul? Christ died on the cross and shed his precious blood in order that you might obtain the forgiveness of sins. And he died that death for all of humanity. Matthew 26 and verse 28. We read in the book of Romans, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled we shall be saved by his life. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 to 10. For as much as you know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. 1 Peter 1 and verse 18 and 19. Friend, don't you believe that? Won't you turn your life around? Believe in the existence of God. Believe that Jesus is his Son. Believe that they have a plan for you. They love you. Do not want you to perish, but you have to turn from your sins. You turn from sins in your repentance. You change your mind, your thinking, your attitude about it. Turn your life around, confessing faith in Christ and being immersed into water in order to be born again. Jesus said, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter in the kingdom of heaven. John 3 and verse 5. When you're baptized, you're born again. You're raised up to walk a newness of life. Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. Being then made free from sin, you became a servant of righteousness. Romans 6 and verse 18. Why not obey the gospel? Why not recognize your sin and turn to God before it's too late? My name is Garland Robinson.